committee meeting for this Thursday, July 8th. We're going to start by having the board members that are here present. I'm Reggie Jones Sawyer. I'm the chairperson, and I'm the at-large representative.
I'm Nancy Carson, and I represent Harvard College.
I'm Donna Smith, and I represent Pierce College.
I'm Kurt Tennant.
Harvey Bird, Valley College.
Mr. Tennant, I'm presumably representing the seniors.
Yes.
Identified it, I'm the deputy chancellor.
I'm Camille Goulet, I'm the general counsel.
I'm Larry Eisenberg, I'm the executive director for facilities planning and development.
Okay, good, good. It's good to be with you. I was on a year-long adventure that culminated the last 3 months. And running for office is an adventure for anybody that wants to try it. So it's not for the weak at heart. Rule on Chapter 11, Article 6, Item D, limiting members of the public for 5 minutes to address the agenda. Let's begin with that so we can get some of the necessary ground rules that have come up.
If I could just, for everybody's benefit, since we only have 6 people, we don't actually have a quorum, but since we have a noticed public meeting, we can go ahead, but the committee can't take any. The board has a standing set of rules, and the rules are that there's a maximum of 20 minutes per topic on a meeting, and then also that there is a limit of 5 minutes per committee can engage in some kind of latitude about that. And at the last meeting, a number of speakers were given an extended period of time to speak beyond the 5 minutes. However, if you have a number of speakers and it's going to be in excess of 20 minutes, then the committee is entitled to reduce the speaker's time so that it fits within the 20-minute time frame. That said, it's always been my advice that we should give every public speaker at least 2 minutes as a matter of fairness and appropriateness. And so even if you had 15 speakers, which you wouldn't give them 1 minute each. You'd still give them 2 minutes each. Help you with the rule and the questions about the rule?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Are there any board members that have any other questions that they want to bring up? On to item number 2, which is, are there any public speakers that want to address the board today?
Can I have a point of clarification, please?
Yes.
As far as rules of rest at the time when they're being discussed, public comment, or is it that you're just limited to all public comment to this number 2 where we have to address it? Because I would like to listen to the reports before I can address the...
And to answer the question, the Brown Act requires that somebody be allowed to address the committee before or during the consideration of an item, but it's customarily appropriate that if somebody wants to address only one item on the agenda, and that they have the opportunity to hear the state public speaks. So it would be, if there are members of the public who wish to address a particular item, then they should let you know what that item is so that they can then speak to that item and then use their 5 minutes at that time.
Okay. So there's a particular item.
Please, item number 5, discuss Betty Camp.
Okay. Excuse me, your name just...
My name is Laura, L-A-U-R-A, Gutierrez, G-U-T-I-E-R-R-E-Z. Mickey Jackson, M-I-K-I, J-A-C-K-S-O-N.
And then, as well, I'm Rourke Reagan, R-O-U-R-K, and then Reagan, R-E-A-G-A-N.
Oh, you said Rourke?
Rourke, R-O-U-R-K. Okay.
If I could recommend that you just see how many speakers you have regarding item 5.
Yes. Is there anyone else for item number 5 that would like to speak to that item?
I don't know yet.
Good answer.
Okay.
Depends on what you have to say.
So what item?
Item. Okay.
Okay.
And then we have someone that wants to speak. Wants to speak now.
Speak now, okay. Mm-hmm. So those who would like to speak now...
You should do is have the speakers raise their hand, have them come forward, have them I would recommend that since Laurelyn is taping that we have the speaker speak from close to her so that the...
So that would be right here.
And then just for the record, we need
your name. This is the hot seat here.
and for the record, you need to identify yourself. Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to stand if you'll permit me.
Whatever.
I may once saw the air dust. My name is Scott Folsom. I live in Mount Washington. I sit on the LAUSD Citizens Bond Oversight Committee. And I want to welcome you here to Northeast Los Angeles. I got here a little bit early and did a quick little walk around of this campus, and I'm delighted with everything that I saw. It's a beautiful facility, beautifully done. They run a great job and all that. At the same time, it breaks my heart that this isn't what this community wanted originally. This isn't what this community asked of the community college district. This isn't what we advocated for. We wanted a community college campus here in the Northeast, in the Workforce Development Center. And we fully understand how important that is. We've got a charter school that's being operated by probably the premier charter school operator in LAUSD. I consider Judy Burton a friend. Best work in charter schools being done. That's not what we wanted. We wanted a community college here. So thank you for giving me 5 minutes to speak. Please listen to what I have to say and later what my fellow neighbors will have to say. We are a little bit angry. We're a little bit disappointed. And we're not going to relent. We're going to insist that there be a community college here on this place at Vandy Camps as soon as possible. We're not content to wait for the next 4 years for something else to happen. What we want to see is what we advocated for in this community for the last 10 years, what we voted for, and what we are currently paying for. A community college here on this campus. Thank you again for what you're doing. This is critical and important, but your voice needs to go forward to the board and say, we've seen this campus, we think it'll be a great community college campus, and remember, that your job as overseers is to make sure that what we, the voters, me, my colleagues here in Northeast, and the voters of all over Los Angeles voted for and wanted to have happen, and what we didn't vote for is what's happening here today. Thank you.
Thank you. Another comment? And was there someone else that wanted to speak before?
Did we have to fill out the...
No.
I know you came in.
It's okay. I know I just came in. I'm sorry.
Okay. You have... This is a public speaking part. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you.
And it would be best if you... Please may have come up to...
But then it's not going around my chair.
Okay. Or get as close as you can.
Plenty of empty chairs. Yes.
And your name?
I'm sorry?
Right there.
So this one. Okay, got it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Alexia Teran, and I live in Cypress Park, which is just up. I know my community pretty well, and the surrounding communities too, because I've been involved for about 22 years since I was injured. And so what I do in order to keep my mind and my body still functioning is volunteers advocate for is education. And I'm not just talking about education at the lower levels, education until we are a million years old, because even though I am injured and have illnesses and I'm old, I can still learn. I don't learn as well as I used to when we were little kids or even a little bit older, but I still do. Thank you. And so when this was promised to us, and I go to many meetings to become informed and bring information to my community. Principal of LACC, because I still take classes there once in a while. That was, at least 10 years ago or so, a blonde lady. Now I'm not quite remembering her name. Meetings in what is called the Northeast. We're not the East, we're called the Northeast now. And she thought that there wouldn't be enough students here because she said she needed at least 5,000 students. Said to her,
If you bring child support here, just from Cypress Park, you will get 5,000 parents. LACC has had child care for many, many years. So if they can do it there, they can do it here. And also someone else got up, and, you know, two or three other people advocated for the same thing. Because she thought we were, I don't know, way back in Timbuktu someplace. And we didn't know anything. So that was one point. And then afterwards, they did. I guess because they heard so many other people voice my opinion. And they had money. So where did the money go? You know it. And some of us do too. And then also, again, at one of she was surprised because they were only going to have the basics. And she was surprised that several people advocated for guess what? Things like art. Why would there be people here who are artists? In a very cosmopolitan city, and we're not that far away from downtown. We have at least two or three artists here, and I don't know everyone who's here in this right here in this room. And even though I'm all classy because I've always wanted to do that. So again, my focus is please do not deny education. We who have brains, we who have some stuff up here, and I'm sure that all of us do, okay? Because, and it should be all over the world. And I'm not talking about just the little kids and just one gender, because I'm sorry, I don't want to insult anyone, but still in this wonderful world of ours, what happens? The boys are the ones. Ma'am. We the women are half the population of the world.
I'm yes, sorry, sir. But you only have... I've got a couple of minutes.
Okay, that's fine.
Because we had more speakers than I thought we would.
Thank you.
So if you could please kind of wrap up.
That is it. Yes, but I have to make countries. Mm-hmm. And I don't want it to happen in this country. I don't. I know we're a new country, and we still are trying to get our things together, that education has to go across the board, both genders, and continue up until we're... One lady said it a while back, and I know it can't be done. Education was free. Few years back, and it can still be free in this country. If we are able to send food to other countries, and I'm not against that, we should help the world have to take care of ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you. I apologize, I should have told you earlier.
No, it's okay. No, I understand about meetings, sir. I participate on two board meetings, one is the neighborhood council in Cypress Park, and the other one is the Commission on Disabilities. I was appointed by Supervisor. Thank you.
Now,
sure.
Dr. Chan is here. Oh, okay. Dr. Chan is here, so we now have a quorum. So we can. And some people are waiting until after the report on item number 5, just so you know, to make a 2-minute comment after that. So if you wanted to wait till that, but just, I'm getting ready to close the speaker portion of this now about any of the items you can. Otherwise, we'll go straight to item number 4. Okay.
So on and on. 2 minutes. I live in Atwater Village within walking distance. I've lived there the majority of my life. Great community, as are all the Northeast communities. We've been chopped up, diced, sliced, and that's the end of it. We needed to stop now. We need this college here. We were promised a college. I have a little 2.5-year-old grandson. I'm taking care of him today. That's why I might have to go. And he said, where do you go? Ray, at college. Maybe for you and maybe for all the kids that are here in the neighborhood. It makes me want to cry when I know what it was, what was in place, and what has. And it should make you feel that way, too. You don't live right here, and I understand I don't live where you live. But the issues here, a lot of them can be solved by having a college here. A lot of the problems. I need you to see that we need a college here. A lot of kids pass. They come from several Elysian Valley. They go to the middle school, Irving. Maybe a lot of them can't even think that they could go to college. But when they go on their way to middle school and they see a college here that they can feel comfortable at and go to, that's a start for them. Opportunity, please. Give what was promised, give what the people voted for, and make this a community college.
Thank you. Okay, now we'll move on to the annual report.
I was given a second, the revised, updated copy. Although I don't know, it helps a little bit.
He says it sounds is going in the opposite direction.
I said, Laurlin gave me a draft of the updated one, and it has some of the corrections that I had seen on the other one. So,
And members of the committee received a copy of the draft annual report. One of the requirements under Proposition 39 is that this committee prepare a annual report. This would be the 2009-10. And our hope would be that we could issue it as soon as possible with the close of the fiscal year having happened, which is why we thought to bring it to this special meeting so that you could have a chance to look at it and offer comments. As part of that, of the law, as we understand it, is that the committee is supposed to draft, concur, and issue the report. But we have Ms. Johnson take a first pass at it, but it's only a first pass. And if there's information you think is missing, you'd like to see more information in the report, then we'd be very glad to add that in. But we think that the report as presented, short of the letter of the glee, fulfills the requirements of Proposition 39 and will serve as the annual report. We've only done apparently one other annual report that was in 2001. We had prepared other reports that we believe were complete. This is our effort to comply with Prop 39 and give you a chance to have input into the document that you've been presented with. So if there are particular questions, guidance, edits, that we can do that. We would finalize the report. We can circulate it out electronically to you one more time, and then we would finish it and issue it out to the public.
Question: what's the mechanism in disseminating all
the
information?
I guess I'm not sure which question you're asking.
Okay. Let's say the process is this is prepared by staff, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Then the next step is, and then for us, hopefully, you know, we know all enough details. Or do we, is there going to be a lapse of time where we kind of go back to where we represent, let's say I'll go back to mission, the bond member on mission get a copy, they can give me a little input. Is there that kind of a circular?
I guess I was actually hoping not. I mean, certainly we want a one citizen oversight committee. We also have a very broad distribution list, electronic distribution list that I believe at the moment has some 5,000 names on of people who've been interested in doing it. The information in the report in terms of the dollar amount, excuse me, so each of the colleges had an opportunity to provide input into their particular page and photos, project description.
So you went to them first already?
Correct, yeah.
Looking through the report, I see there's reference to the Vandy Camp project. Now, to me, the Lloyd report means that you get a full dimension of what has taken place. And this has a series of pictures with nice little paragraphs, but it doesn't do this project. And I would like to see a report reflecting that, not just what is called highlights. To me, this is one of the highlights, the dissension and the upset in the community. And it should be reflected so that there's some dissatisfaction.
Okay.
Yep. On that point, the summary, which is on page 5, indicates that this committee, the ECOC, reviewed expenditures or that they reviewed in compliance with Prop 39. And I think the underlying reason why we're having this meeting today at this location, the discussion of Vandy Camp, is the underlying issue of whether or not this is in accordance with I question the DCOC is making, whereby in its opinion it is stating that the expenditures are in accordance with Prop 39. So as a member of the board, I have a serious concern about my name or the name of Valley College associated with a conclusion of fact before the fact is has been concluded in its own right.
Can I? Let's get another comment, maybe.
I read something like this and editing it, so there I have some problems. Like
no,
this.
It's hard to hear.
Okay, I'm sorry. I do apologize.
But you're looking there. It sounds good.
I was looking down. I have some editing things, because when I read a report like that, because I've written accreditation reports and stuff, and so I edit when I'm reading, and I can't. Like the paragraph on page 4 on the left-hand column is incomplete.
Incomplete, yeah.
It's an incomplete paragraph. And she has put the other totals in. The other thing that I would be concerned somewhat with is that I don't know quite what Central Plant Projects, which it says we're looking at green or we're looking at, you know, careful use, I don't know. And the other is if you're going to put Vandekamp in, my understanding it was a satellite of L.A. City College. I wondered if it belonged with L.A. City College's stuff or not. If not, the number, amount of money allocated, how much has been spent, and how many other projects are there. It is an incomplete piece compared to the other 9 campuses that were described there. My major problem on the summary is a little with making comments about, it has come to the attention of the committee, that there is discussion on how money might be has been allocated because of a misunderstanding of the area. But we have done some wonderful things in this district. It needs to say how the L.A. City College or L.A. Community College District has significantly improved their campuses, anticipate what they're going to do to increase their enrollment and the programs they put in, what they've done related to being cost-efficient, energy-efficient, etc. That's not in that, to be in that summary, because we, as a whole, at all of the colleges with all of our groups, have done some pretty sensational things. And other than a list of how much money was spent, and unless you're on the campus, you don't know if it's a new building, an old building, a renovation, or whatever, the summary needs to sell what wonderful things were done with those $6 billion that's been allocated or is in the process of being done. And nowhere in that summary does it say it.
That suggestion and Mr. Berger's comment as well. The district citizen oversight committee, in fact, receives regular reports from the district's independent auditors. And, in fact, they received a report in January. And we may have a timing sequence issue here in that for 09-10, the audit is not complete at this point by the independent auditors. And so one possibility would be to wait until that happens. The committee can decide is the idea that technically we're supposed to issue a report for the fiscal year, and if we wait until after the audit is complete in January 2011, then to do that. So we did receive, again, in January of 2010, the audits from both the district's financial auditor, who reviewed all of the expenditures of the program, and the performance auditor, and both of them concluded that Section 39 to do that. So the committee had received that report from the independent auditors. So there's just a bit of a timing issue there. In response to Ms. Carson's comment, it strikes me that I'm the committee chair, and that might be an opportunity to have a more opinionated kind of view of the situation. If the committee wants to make the kind of conclusion that Ms. Carson suggested, then certainly that's within the committee to have that happen that way. But the goal of the report as we've drafted at this point is to try and be factual in nature and basically show the numbers. We checked with bond counsel in the development of the format to make sure that was presented and that kind of thing to do that. The comment about Vandekamp project up to the committee in terms of what kind of text it would like to put in to the report. It is that before you draw a conclusion on the issues that have been presented by the community, you get a full report on that particular topic. We will have the Inspector General do a review of the entire Vandekamp project issues that have been raised. We are only still in the meeting, so that is many months away from having that complete. So again, if the committee cares to wait for the outcome of these different kind of reports that will be coming along, that's certainly within the committee's purview to do that.
I was thinking that because you mentioned earlier that there have been other reports issued that you thought were appropriate, but have since learned that they were not actual 39, perhaps you can speak to why this one is in compliance and the previous. You know, what are the elements that make the annual report in compliance versus those that are not?
Yeah, the most significant issue is the listing of projects, the timing, the date completed, and the construction budget. detail. Bond counsel advised that we needed to be able to provide to the public that specific information. That really is the heart of the prior reports that we did that are in the last several years were really designed as a project overview highlight kind of report, so it showed pictures of the project status, but it did not have this kind of detail in it, and that really seems to be the difference. The maintenance that we've done in the initial segment of the report, the idea that responsibility of the DCOC, the nature of the findings, summary, and that kind of thing are apparently statements that bond counsels recommended we include in the document to deal with the requirements of Prop 39.
I have a suggestion, and then we'll go another round, but I want to make sure that Donna or Mr. Slauson or Kurt or Yvonne, did you have one round of comments? Well, Yvonne, you already said something. Did you want to
I
make a statement?
I just had a question about what's the significance or how's that, you know, what I understand what it means in time, but how does that translate to anything else if it's late?
If I could answer, and that reminds me to turn off my own phone. The committee will issue an annual report, and it's sort of, and Larry's logic is it makes sense that it would be tied to the fiscal year. The audit necessarily lags quite a few months behind the close of the fiscal forensic, and it's reviewing different things. So the committee can make a determination when you want to do that. I think the purpose of bringing it forward at this point was that it's the fiscal year just closed, and so that made some sense. But annual audit after the you get the other audits, I mean your annual report after you get the annual audits, but understand that will be a significant length of time after the close of the fiscal year, because you get the audits in January, which would mean your next quarterly meeting would be your annual report 9 months behind the close of the fiscal year to which it occurs.
Right, I understand that, but the question is...
Are there any penalties?
Right. Oh, well, first of all, is there a penalty? Second of all, because audits are very significant in this kind of a report, because people want to see... That's my question, really, on penalties and such.
No, the answer, there is no statutory provision. Presumably, the district could be subject to some kind of challenge for failing to issue an annual report about issuing the annual report and tied to something else. I don't think it's a real problem. I think it would be if you just ignored it altogether.
Well, it makes... When did the... fiscal year close, just last one. So we haven't received the annual report for 2008-2009.
You did receive that report.
We did get that.
The auditor came to the District Citizen Oversight Committee and presented their findings. That was probably in the spring meeting, I believe, March.
It would make sense that this would refer to that annual fiscal report.
Although that, again, is for the year past. 10 report, right, exactly.
If you're going to issue an annual report, it has to reflect the latest annual financial report that you would have. So it would reflect that one. I know it's going to take some time for the next one, but that one should be referred to in the annual report here, Terry, from the auditors in regard to the application of expenditure of funds, and as well, if necessary, the adherence to Prop 39 requirements.
Excuse me. Just speaking out of turn, but you could, for the comfort of the committee members, add a sentence that says, this reflects the committee's review of audits for the years through 2008-2009. Because you didn't yet.
What is it?
Kurt, did you want?
Yeah, my comments would be that it'd be great to take this back to my own Los Angeles City College Oversight Committee and go over the numbers and look at things. Just to, if you're asking things, to me, it looks like what we've discussed, you know, at the meetings as far as expenditures on the buildings and renovations and things, on a quick glance and overview, but Chris being sort of head of construction for campus, it'd be nice, you know, the other people on the committee to see, you know, if you're asking for corrections, I'd rather have my committee members all put their input into corrections and get it back to you as quickly as possible.
I was going to make a suggestion because I want to make sure, because I've heard Commissioner Carson, there's a concern, and the vehicle might actually be the report that I, or the page that I do, that we could encompass some of these comments. And I agree we should not hide anything, because I think that's what you're saying. Put something in there.
Yeah,
but I do also want to move forward and make sure we're not looking at this in September, October, that we can get this report out fairly soon. That's one concern. I want to get it out. And it's I'm looking at, and right now, up to June 30th, we have X amount of information that we know on the known knowns. Let's put that in there. And then whether it's written in my comments or if it's flushed out in other parts of this report that there were concerns, we should mention those concerns. But we also should mention the things that Committee Member Carson is talking about, the things that have worked well, and so that we have a balanced report.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I agree we should figure out a way to flesh that out, who we're going to get the author, researcher, to write that and flesh that out, and probably staff to at least do that first pass, and then maybe get that back to us while in a couple of weeks while we're doing whatever we need to do so we can get this moving. So that was just a suggestion, and then we'll go second round of comments.
I'd like to make one. Again, my focus is on that summary, which is on page 5.
Okay.
And I think it would be rather a simple matter for council or staff to put an acknowledgement in there that there is a question that has been brought about certain expenditures related to Bandicam. That's point number one.
I think that could be as simple as that.
And this report, absolutely. I think that report could be issued. Secondly, though, and I have a question, there is the reference to Bandicam on the last page, but find it in here. Where are the budget expenditures that would be reported on? Where are they included in this report, since those expenditures are also Prop 39 monies that we're being asked to opine to?
Okay. Yeah. And certainly I think that's a very good observation. We should include the numbers for the project. And in just a little bit, other than upcoming agenda item, we'll pass out the budget for Bandicam.
I have concerns because of sequence. This committee had asked for a meeting about Bandicam with the community, which I attended, the one that took place at West Valley College. And they unanimously voted to support this campus going to the work source and the high school in a different light again. I don't see the sense of that because they have made their decision, and now we're fussing about that decision. I believe some of us are. And I don't understand that.
I don't think is your word fussing. I think they just want to make sure it's acknowledged. Right? I think that's, and I don't want to speak for Mr. Burke.
Well, there seems something very dishonest involved to have voted prior to our meeting. I objected to that. They didn't give us a chance to. They voted. And now we're discussing with the community. And as you see, there's a tremendous amount of interest on the issue and how those monies are going. And this question, I feel very uncomfortable being on such a committee.
Well, I think the whole point of us sitting here with the community here, let them speak on this issue, so that this committee is very open to the concerns
and
ideas.
Well, just speaking and not changing the decision, I would like to see the change of decision.
I don't think we have that kind of
That's
power.
That's right, I don't.
Okay. I'll leave board members.
Right.
are there any other suggestions on how we can better present what has gone on in the last fiscal year in our annual report from any of the committees?
Is there any, I don't know if it's appropriate, it's listed in here for all of the campuses except for Bandicam. Is there a place to also list, as a summary, the expenses for management? Because they also, because if somebody totals these out and compares to the amount of dollars we've received, millions sitting there that isn't there. And so you've made a comment about a certain percentage can go for the management costs and this sort of thing. And it could just be a summary of what the management costs are to make it a complete document.
The budget doesn't include the management cost at all?
It does not.
Appropriate for a report, but it is part of the allocation of the funds that are legitimate and within that.
Yes?
Well, since there are some missing information that various members would like to see in here, I just want to report from the very beginning there is like a background page. Now, background, they talk about definitely the Prop 39 gives the role and the responsibility that we have. Then followed by, well, this is the year from what to what. Refer back to some other finding from previous years, a little bit of that. And then the source of where all of this come from, you know, who created this in the process, so that there seems to be that community at large engagement and communication. And that may want to include, well, there is this pending issue on the development of handicap here.
Other than handicap, are you saying that what you just said is not captured in pages 3, 4, and 5 would need to be, so I think it does tell how we got created, who's on the committee.
Right, we have. But I'm talking about what's happening in the year before. So it will not be a standalone report. And also the source of all of this. This source has come from directly from the college itself. Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've seen, you know, report with a background, half a paragraph, bullet point very fast.
Okay.
You know, July 1 or whatever to whatever it is. And then also we take into account of all the finding for the previous years, you know. And then we're also taking into account on some future development and some issues has been, you know, communicated and circulated, you know. And then next year, then we can have this background to say, okay, so here are some of the footprints. So we will be each year
as
a whole separate report.
Okay. Are there any other comments?
Would it be appropriate for some members that are on this committee to, if they have time in their lives, to work, Laura Ann, I'm not saying that right.
Laura Lynn.
I do have a second part to it. In terms of doing some editing with her and work with her rather than something coming in the email you look at and you put your little, sometimes in talking together, you can come up with it faster and easier and no hurt feelings or anything else.
I think that'd be a good idea.
So that people just call it Laura Lynn directly?
Volunteers now and see if people are willing to sit on Laura Lynn and schedule a little meeting with individuals who are interested in helping to do the edit on the report and what to do them.
Committee Member Berg, Member Carson, Committee Member Chen. A nice little committee.
Yeah. May I recommend to defer the rewrite to the committee to bring back at the next meeting for consideration for adoption by the whole committee at the next committee meeting?
Then that's it.
Because that's how you're going to get your editing done. Yeah. And so if the committee as a whole takes that measure, then as long as it's that small group of people, they can sit and meet and do their editing and whatever and bring it back to the committee as a whole, right? Because you're not going to do that here.
So is that a motion from Committee Member Lawson?
So moved.
Sure, absolutely. Second.
We have a motion to have the committee work on this and then bring it back to our. So all those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, do the same. And are there any abstentions? I think I'm now supposed to ask for that. I read in the minutes. You had a question because
I think you can take a little public comment.
We've had public comment
on the item. Item does allow for that.
Sorry. Yes.
However,
but we're not.
It's
quite
still within the 5 minutes. Right?
I know. Yeah. We have a timer. Mm-hmm. I just had a couple of quick things, some information. LACC would not be doing this because the district took over the Vandy Camps campus in 2009, so LACC is no longer involved. It worries me that there's so much lack of information here, even that basic information. I can understand why there's confusion. I really compliment the committee on taking this seriously and working on it. This is and has thus been in violation all these many years. The last thing is Fulbright and Jaworski, your bond attorney, who has referred to earlier, found the audits inadequate that had been done. So I do believe you might want to address that issue because I don't know if any remedial action is being taken in the report that they're referring to. But it seems like it might be a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you.
1 minute and 4 seconds.
That's great. Okay, so we can now move on to item number 5, our discussion of the Vandy Camp and historic landmark.
I have 2 handouts for you. You may not be. There should be some extras.
You want me to have more copies, Mike?
Yeah. Well, it depends on how many. May I recommend that you see if there are additional copies that need to be made?
Did everyone get a copy, including who needs a copy of 1, 2, 4, and about a handful more copies?
That's the old one.
Right. Okay. Yes. Oh, I get it. Okay. Thank you.
It's the original.
Yes.
And the back again is the
current one, yes.
We're making more copies and we'll get back. You want to go ahead, Larry?
Sure. So the I'm referencing the Innovation Center update document. And this is a document that our work group pulled together. As you can see, this was as of a little bit, the tense is a little wrong in terms of the fact that obviously we're in the building and that kind of thing. But basically, there are 2 major buildings here on the site, as you can see, the education building, which is the building across the way, and that as part of the space at the moment leased to the Alliance Charter School. And basically a 5-year lease and began in July 2009, would end in 2014. And the idea for the charter school and their operation, so they began with 9th graders. This year they have 9th and 10th graders and so on. So they will basically go into a 9 through 12 environment. At that point, they would be expected to utilize the entire building basically from 7 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon. The entire building is available for use by the community college to offer courses in the individual classrooms of the entire building to do that. The creator assigned to the facilities, the manager, Richard Arvisu is here, is the administrator of the site. And he basically is coordinating administrative issues, providing management oversight. As noted in the report, Vice Chancellor Martinez has some staff members who we anticipate will be officed here as well for part of their work in the economic and workforce development area. And he may in a moment want to comment on that. We will be hiring staff that will be just and we have a contract with the Sheriff's Office for security, and we will have Sheriff's Office providing the security for the site to do that. And we also are working on an agreement with our colleges in terms of providing gardening thing. But as you can see, we've designed the facility to provide for a minimal maintenance landscape that should take very little work to keep the landscape in shape, but we'll need a regular sort of maintenance cleaning kind of activity rather than have to deal with the plant material to do that. The, as you can see, basically a two-story building. We've retained the facade of the old bakery building onto Fletcher Drive, which is behind Mr. Sawyer. And we have now, as you'll see on the tour, the building is partially occupied. Computer room, training classrooms on the first floor, and office space for our City College workforce development staff, as well as a couple of our tenant members and their activities on the second floor area. Next door to the bakery building, through a breezeway, is the Child Development Center we'll take a look at, and that's available for use by a child development provider. That would be under the auspice of the lease with the city. We did, I should note, and I don't think this report did it, we've, remember Mixon basically indicated the Board of Trustees voted to approve a lease for the City of Los Angeles for a portion of the space. It's about 13,000 feet of space in a 30,000-foot building here that will basically allow for workforce development activities to take place through a couple different providers who those functions are as part of that. The to provide the heating and cooling for the building, we've constructed a small central plant that we'll see on the tour as well to provide for an efficient way to heat and cool the building. The on the next page, the instructional program to be offered in the space, I have passed out the single-page handout that I thought would be helpful to look at, because I recovered on the page that says the bakery general academic programming, and it shows multiple scenarios. This was from the original City College planning document for the facility to lay out the nature of the curriculum that they thought to offer under their control. And that you can see the different concepts they had for depending upon count of number of people who might be able to utilize the facility, types of courses, and so on to do that. But there's a commonality in the curriculum. Is the curriculum that City College now is going to be offering in the facility, that the workforce development staff will provide support for some of this, but then faculty members from City College will be coming into the facility to offer a fairly, unfortunately, because I try to be economical, and you compare back to back, you'll see that the list of courses to be offered at the moment is really quite comparable to the original plan that City College had advanced to offer courses in the space. The lease with the City of Los Angeles allows for use of the classroom space basically through 5 o'clock, and then after 5 o'clock, the college can have access to the classroom space on the first floor in the bakery building to use the computer labs and classrooms to offer classes as well. In the evening and weekends, across all the classroom spaces that are available on site to do that. The construction to a close, we have appropriate sign-off from the Division of State Architect on the life safety systems of the building. We're completing some punch list items on both buildings, and obviously we've since installed computers and phone systems through the buildings to provide support for all of the staff who will be in the building. We're really well punch list and being completely done with the space, and our construction and capital effort will be concluded on the property. The in terms of the budget for, and these are all capital budget dollars as distinct from operating budget dollars. Operating budget pays salaries, utilities, supply costs, and that kind of thing. Capital dollars pay for capital work to build the building, to equip the building with furniture and equipment, that kind of thing. So basically what I'm presenting here initially is the what I call the acquisition and construction budget, acquisition provided by these different sources. We needed to buy the property, and we needed to build the buildings that you see on site, or to do the adaptive reuse of the bakery building in particular. So we early on got a $3 million grant that came through the city's Economic Development Administration for $3 million. And we, City College, made a decision to allocate out of their Proposition A, out of their Proposition A money, $8 million. Proposition AA specifically had a line item where the voters approved $50 million of capital funds for the Bandicamp project. Measure J allocated an additional $10 million. And due to the nature of our investment activity for our capital funds, we generated some miscellaneous income. That's amounted to about another $1 million for a total budget for the project of... excuse me. Basically, what we've identified out of that original mix, based on guidance from our bond council, about a little more than $500,000. You can see $518,203 were utilized to support work specifically for the non-college tenants of the building. And I should say that for the charter school, a pure move-in situation, so nothing was done to modify the building for the charter school whatsoever from the original plan presented by the college. There were some changes to this building, and those were reflected in the $518,000 for in the space. And that money would be, under the requirements of Prop 39, need to be paid for from a non-bond source to make that a legitimate expenditure activity. So our intention is to reverse the accounting and charge that to the appropriate fund source to cover that particular cost. On the next page, you can see our anticipated revenue operating budget for the facility. And this is still going through some refinement. The idea that the charter school pays us rent for their space, which... $50 for the first year, but the lease provides for a rent of $1,000 per student for a total of 500 students. So in the fourth year, we'd be receiving $500,000 a year from the charter school for their rent to do that. The Portola Fernando Road, the Apoyo Loco Auto Zone and Denny's that we're in the process of concluding a purchase on. Once we conclude that purchase, they pay rent to their current landlord. We'd become the landlord and receive that rent. For that as well. And then, again, back in April, partners, now City of Los Angeles, and the rent there, we had estimated at that point in time, was $250,000 for the year. The operating costs that I've noted here basically reflect, as I had mentioned before, that security services for the facility. And we, of course, have to cover the cost of utilities, lighting, electricity, water for the summer. So the my last note here relates. Perhaps we could take out of the revenue for the site, the cost of repayment of the bond issue, the bond funds advance for the tenants, and do that over a period of time. So that's the. Administer the issue. So that's, in a nutshell, an overview of the status of the project, curriculum-related issues for the site. And that committee, if there are questions. And I should note that there are many people in the audience here today who have far more expertise on the site than I do. But perhaps Vice Chancellor Martinez would like to comment a moment on the general plan of the site. What's going on?
Sure. Well, you know, what I'll do is I will comment on the locating here at the campus. But also I do want to bring your attention to this sheet that shows that, you know, our intent is to offer a degree, a liberal arts degree on campus. So from what you see here is that there's a number of courses that will be taught on campus through City College courses, and they can come to this campus and enroll in courses and eventually try to achieve a liberal arts degree. And so, you know, so we wanted to make sure that you see that there. In regards to workforce development, as most of you know also, you know, about a year or a couple of years ago, that's what's called the American Reinvestment and Recovery Act, always known as the federal stimulus. That program provided a lot of dollars, a lot of revenue to a number of cities and counties throughout the country. Obviously, we were here in L.A. Of a number of dollars, and the college district, we've been very aggressive in terms of applying for grants that we can bring to this part of the city. And the intent of us, one is to provide dollars so that individuals who are currently working could be retrained so they can keep their job. I don't need to tell all of you this is a tough economy. If there's anything that we could do as a college to use the city of LA to keep their job, that's what we've been trying to do, is get those dollars in order to do that. Second purpose of ARA and the federal stimulus is to prepare individuals for new jobs, new hires. And so what we decided to do is recipient of several grants, a little bit over $10 million worth of grants just for the LA College District. The City of LA, of course, has received specific allocations in excess of $40 million in order to do those two things I've mentioned to you. Again, retrain incoming workers and prepare new hires. How those dollars can come to the site, how we can utilize those dollars to provide that training for those individuals at the site. All those courses that we're using in order to train individuals, many of those are pre-ed courses. And many of these courses will be in City College, and they'll be taught here. There'll be three entities on this campus in order to work with the residents. One is there will be a Workforce Center. The Workforce Center is headed by an organization called the Community Career Development. They are a nonprofit, and they will be coordinating service program here designed to do a couple things. One is designed to provide services to those individuals in this area who are looking to be retrained, who are looking to be trained for new jobs. So they will be providing, we really want to target this part of town and provide that service. And I need to tell all of you also that, you know, for about a good 2-3 year period, there are layoffs of almost 500,000 people on an annual basis, you know, per month from a good 2 year period. So many of those people are still not working. Many people live in this part of town. So they provide those services. We have a couple of other organizations that are here. One is called WORK, which stands for the Workforce Education Resource Center. The executive director of that organization, Diane Factor, is here. And anything you can add, of course, Diane, and the comments I'm going to make. But the care industry, that's still one of the few industries that's still hiring. So the grants are designed, again, in order to provide retraining services to many of the workers who are currently working with many of these healthcare industries, from the county hospitals to other private hospitals. Also do is they work with new potential new hires so that new people can be hired at potential jobs in the area. Also, will be located here will be the Archdiocese. We'll have a small office here. They will run a small one-store center between the ages of 14 through 18. And
24.
I'm sorry?
14 to 24.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you're here. Okay, there you corrected me on that. And that was changed when ARA was changed, they extended the age to 24. So their purpose, again, is to provide them to be connected back to education and to training so they can go out there and also be able to acquire jobs. So what we did in regards to our vision, in regards to the workforce development component here at Vandy Campus, how do we have this campus be instrumental residents in this area, preparing them for jobs? And how do we work with the industry so the industry can hire from the people that we're retraining, but also we can work with local industry to ensure that the individuals who currently are working there can keep their jobs. That's the purpose responsibility to do that. So that's what we've done, and that's the program design. I know Diane's here, and of course, your name is...
And
do you want to add, Diane, to...
It isn't just a job training program. We work with individuals really as an educational program,
to prepare them to get the college courses they need for the healthcare career. The careers that do well and really provide a lifelong career require college. And so I'm glad to see that some of the courses that will be offered here are the prerequisites, general prerequisites for anybody going into healthcare careers. Now, we work with a number of the large employers, and we also work with a number of community clinics and long-term care facilities. And what we do is very intensive coaching, tutoring, career counseling, and really helping people transition to be college students.
So Diane's organization has been the recipient of some R grants that she will also use here in order to provide, that she's going to be using to teach through her grants our bio courses, many of the prerequisites students need in order to go into the health industry. So all these courses are credit courses. They will be taught by a number of colleges at this site.
And just one other thing, that are partnering on a couple of green initiatives. One is around how to make hospitals more green, more energy efficient, less waste, and so forth. And then we're also just got included on an agency grant. It's with another academy. And so there may be also opportunities here for the community for people who want to get trained in those areas.
I know that seems to be an emphasis on education, especially with the community. And this Archdiocese and Youth Employment Program, we definitely encourage education. And we're working with such a young population, 14 to 24. Depending on what program they're enrolled in, we do offer stipends and rewards for them continuing on with their education. We make sure that it will help them, and ask that they also, once continuing the program, a reward for entering into post-secondary. We also offer anywhere from $100 to $200. And we do offer, it's an internship. So when they're enrolled, we pay them at $8 an hour and 60 hours to 220 hours. So it's not just a matter of preparing them, having them go through workshops, work readiness workshops, and getting them ready to work, but also offering them a meaningful work experience with, we place them with nonprofits, faith-based organizations, and also for-profits. And it's just, I think, a great opportunity for the youth, and I'm excited to work with the youth in this area.
And then last but not least, relocating, and they have relocated their economic development unit to this campus. They're actually right next door to us. And what they do and what they bring to the table is a number of the non-credit adult ed courses, not just to help individuals learn, but some of us are also career technical education courses, workforce readiness. Alex Davis, who's the dean of that program, is also here, and she's back there. And is there anything else that you'd like to add that to
the for education and the career technical, we are going to be offering the both ed classes. We're presently collaborating with the Alliance Charter School here, and we're doing job readiness for summer youth employment program that year. And we're scheduled to do our first two job readiness classes in a couple of weeks with, in combination with the charter school. And we'll also offer those soft skills training classes for the general community here. We're very excited and getting feedback from the community as far as what type of classes are needed to prepare a workforce, whether they're transitioning or reskilling themselves or just getting prepared to go into the workforce, the workplace that is. Additionally, with all of the partners here at the site, and I understand that we do have a meeting tomorrow to do some scheduling of classes. We have five classrooms available here in this location, and then as Larry mentioned earlier, we will have that ability once the minors exit the classes. So we'll start around 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. And in addition to that, we have community services here. We will have a weight training class. We will have computers scheduled to start in August. And the schedule information is available online at lacitycollege.edu. And you just, the landing page will have a option to check the class schedule, so you'll be able to go there and check the schedules. Oh, absolutely, yeah. We actually were convening today with Goldman Sachs. City College was awarded the 10,000 Small Businesses Program, which is designed to provide educational access to small 150,000 and $4 million. And these are people who have created their business out of passion, and they didn't have access to the educational piece. So Goldman Sachs has created a national curriculum. The first pilot started in LaGuardia College, and we have pilot as well as Long Beach City College. And the program will provide three arms: the business education. It will also provide the business support services, and that entails one-on-one counseling to keep them on their growth plan, because at the end of the program, they're to create jobs and also increase their revenue. And then the third component of the program is access to capital that was allocated to this program across the nation. $300 million of it will go to financial institutions to loan to the scholars in the program. And so as we are preparing them with the educational piece, they're also interacting with, so they can become bankable and be awarded loans, which they will have to repay. Now, of that $300 million that was allocated across the nation, $20 million has been allocated for Los Angeles for this first pilot. It's a five-year program. We applications today that have been submitted. Our deadline is Friday at noon. Once we're done with the application process and the verification, start interviewing the scholars, and hopeful to enroll approximately 35 scholars in the first cohort. Once that takes place, we will start the curriculum August 20th and August 28th. After August 28th is every other Saturday. So there's 10 sessions scheduled for the business education piece. We plan to start on August 20th and end on December 4th. Once that is done, we will continue with the networking, the technical assistance, and make sure that the scholars stay on target and teaching their growth plans.
Okay. I respect for everyone's time, because our schedule was having us go on a tour.
You mentioned workforce. What kinds of jobs are these paid for?
There's many many different sectors that we're looking at. We're looking at of course the health sector. We have a career advancement academy that focuses on health careers, home health. CNAs, which are certified nursing assistants. And then also we have retail jobs that we place our students in. You know, we have the entertainment industry that we're connected to. So it's various. One is contextualizing math and English to the industry, as well as preparing them with the soft skills training that can be transferred into any industry.
Okay. So that we can get through this quickly, I want to acknowledge that our...
I'm going to say a brief word, and I know we all want to get on the tour, but I just want to thank our dedicated DCOC members and staff that are here and community folks, because what you've heard today, what you'll see today, it's been a long time coming, but it is indeed a valid vision of what this site should be and how it should serve the community. The workforce... activities that occur, the academic courses, the link to a secondary school, which we know will feed students to the college. All I can say is it has taken too long. One's going to appreciate what's going on here and support it and get the word out in this community of the resources here, the small business program through Goldman Sachs, the workforce training, and everything that's going to be available starting in a very short time. Now's the time to get the word out, because it's around the corner. I thank everyone for caring so much and being here.
Thank you. Thank you, Monica. And thank you for always coming to our meetings. So any other committee member comments?
Just one comment. As a teacher and a school principal, understand that we have issues we also have to deal with community concerns. But I'm looking at three major benefits. I haven't seen a patient, okay? But I can imagine right now, I see the partnership going on. But no one can do it alone. I mean, I've been the principal do it alone. Education cannot stand alone. Bringing in all of these agencies, the manpower and also the financial resources. And I also can see, secondly, is sustainability. You know, when you're looking at an entity that took so long to build, and one fall out, you lost your grant, somebody will pick up, and it's widening the whole circle of responsibilities and accountability. And then the third thing is, I would imagine, I can't see it yet, is you won't see a school as the school that we use, that you and I go to. You won't. Even in China, I just came up in China, born and raised there. They're the same. This is a whole new system. Thinking of like all of this, you know, arms going out, all ages, you know, the seniors, the young ones, looking at all the curriculum, all different paths, going to jobs. That's no longer the same. Gotta open our eyes and start creating some new structures.
Thank you.
Just a quick word. Larry sits there so cool and quiet, but this is a surprise to me. It's a great use. I want to compliment you and your team for using it. The community's been asking for it with the college, and I'm anxious to see the facility. Myself being chairman of the advisory board for Los Angeles City College Dental and Technology Program, just because I've got those people in the room that are healthcare people, we're looking to, really would like to see more of these people in this community get involved in that. You probably have to go to the main campus, which is, I understand, only about 4 miles away by bus or so, but that's for this community college area. And I think that if you look at that, just like nursing, there's already been 3 years now they've been discussing every Chicago Midwest meeting about the shortage of dental technicians and dental technology to support. You see that in healthcare and nursing. They're trying to encourage more nurses or people to go into nursing and healthcare. My brother's an urgent care physician. You know, they're seeing shortages and things at Kaiser that he works for and stuff. So it's great. Thanks. All I want to say is thanks for the committee and getting people into vocation and jobs.
Any other committee members? Any other comment? I think there were some comments from the public. 2 minutes apiece. So who I had T. Jackson and Rourke Raven.
Thank you. Oh, and I'm sorry, Mary Ann Cook. She wanted to speak.
Okay.
Thank you. I really appreciate this. Sounds really wonderful. And this is what our plan, our vision was back in 2000. LACC and Dr. Mary Spangler and Dr. Dan Seymour developed this 80-20 plan that you're seeing here. In fact, I think we included it in one of our packets. So we're going to thank you. I'm not going to deluge with paperwork like we have done in the past. Say is that I'm going to bank on Scott Folsom's. You have a fiduciary duty to meet your requirements to the taxpayers that are paying these bonds. You need to make sure that this college district is following Prop 39. We have people here because we sent out an alert bored to us by someone else. So lack of outreach and transparency is one goal that LACCD and this committee needs to focus on. You can't even find your website. You have to search to find your website. I think you should make it there so that people can access it. They have the right to know what their government is doing. We saw deficiencies. We gave you the proper paperwork that we thought that would be able to, that you could read and did so forth. The WorkSource centers, we welcome them. But the issue being here is that we have one less than 2 miles away here in Glendale and the other down the road on San Fernando Road at the Goodwill. Yes, It did vote. Community Career Development, which I believe Mr. Martinez sits on that board. And we brought that up as a possible 1090 violation. So the city of L.A., they scrambled to find a tenant. And we're seeing documents that we're still very concerned about. And this is regarding taxpayers' money, not here at Bond. We are continuing our pursuit. There's a lot of issues here. The total enrollment, well, I know they had about 139 students. I don't know how many they're having this year. The Community Development Center, that is known under the auspices of LA City now. They closed all our child care centers, and one being in particular in our park, less than a mile away from here. There are a lot of questions. A lot of questions still remain, but they've been here since day one. And when the community was shut out, we were denied the right to know what our government was doing. We wanted to work with you, and we still want to work with you. This sounds wonderful, and spend is legal. Taxpayers are mad. And please, do the right thing. As our attorney says, you are like mushrooms. You're in the dark. We need you to get out in the light. We need you to grow. We need you to expand. And we need taxpayers in this city and to the federal government. Education is a wonderful thing. And you expand minds and you create community and you celebrate them. Let's make this a wonderful celebration. And Mr. Eisenberg, if you could please, if you could contact the city, because this is a historic building. There are landmark signs that come, and hopefully you can put on there and put the landmark and the designation so our community can be proud for the city of Los Angeles. Thank you.
Thank you. Mickey Jackson.
Yes, hi. I want to agree with everything Scott Bolton said and not repeat it. He said it very well. I'm very concerned of $518,000 that they have to recover because they shouldn't have spent it on tenant reports. Well, $400,000 of that was just for the plans to redesign the inside of the building for the tenants to their exact specification down to the square foot. We have the email. And so we have documented from email about $7 million or over $7 million in those costs. And there were costs on the charter school opening. What it was reordering the construction so that it costs more, and it's spending huge amounts of rush costs, which is over in these emails, to get it open for the date they needed it. And we are pleased that some classes are going to be here. But, and I'm very, all of you who advocate for that from the community, raise your hand, so we see how many people are here. We made a quorum, even if the DCOC couldn't. I fear that these classes are something of a fig leaf for these bond expenditure off hours, evenings, and weekends. The proportion of workforce city programs compared to the proportion of these classes is just this anywhere else on any other campus. So that is a concern. I have a concern about these programs being located here, some of them in some of their ways. I'm all for these programs. They're great programs. But many of the tenants that will be in here, one of their specialties are ex-offenders, probationers, gang diversion. And those are mostly adults. We have asked for and we have never received. And it's on their website. You can read it. It's in the city contract that they approved. Never could receive any assurances from the city or the mayor that those folks will not be here mixing with the high school students, some as young as 14 or 15, out here in the common area and all that. I think it's a liability issue. I think it's a safety issue. High school students here have a right to that kind of feeling safe about that. I really, really appreciate the people who ask for investigation, who keep pushing for that. I think there may be also a problem with some of those ARA funds, investigation asked for by the proper authorities of ARA because of the way some of this was done. For instance, the CCD was identified way back in June of 2009 before this was even a deal that it wasn't going to be an LACC was solicited.
Could you wrap up, Ms. Jackson?
Yes.
Your time is up.
Okay. Please investigate. Please issue a letter. Please don't wait forever for the, for them to hire someone who will be their employee to investigate them. Ask for a joint legislative audit, and you can write a letter and ask for that. Thank you.
Rourke Regan?
Yes, I would like to reiterate, please ask for an audit on this. I think that is important. It's for the taxpayers. I live in the area. I live in Cypress Park. I'm a high school teacher. Education, if it wasn't for community college. That's why I want to see it here. I also taught at a community college when I was getting my graduate degree, so it helped get me the funds to pay for graduate school, so I see how important that is here. I do have a problem with, I believe you said that the OMN cost also include the teacher at the high school, is about, it's not them, it's not paying for utilities.
It is
about $10,000 a month. That's $120,000 a year. They're paying $150,000 for the charter school. That's
in a very efficient building.
And I hope, I understand becoming a landlord, maybe you can make some profit off some of these things, but try to have this a complete community college. Some of these other programs are great, but once they're here, it's hard to get rid of them when you want to establish other classes for people. You know, I appreciate maybe having one course that might go towards nursing, but right now at LACC and over at PCC, you can't even get in the radio advance and get a good career. You can't. They have a wait list for both of those departments. I mean, for both of those schools. And those are the closest schools that you can do radiology in this entire area. So we would love to see something that was really more comprehensive with developing work for this campus. If it's going to be workforce, that you actually get credits leading to a bachelor's degree, which leads to a master's degree, which leads to higher income, which leads to getting more tax money to do things like this. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And Mary Ann Cook.
Hi, I'm Mary Ann Cook. I'm a Silver Laker, and I was part of the Save Bandy camps from the day one, lots of other people. It's been a hard slog. One of the things that is missing from all of the conversations, and I really appreciate it, sounds like you guys have just done a yeoman's job trying to cobble together a reasonable program, is outreach. I haven't heard any talk about how you're going to do that. Somebody wants to talk to me later, fine. I regularly, as a Silver Lake resident, receive a community college program schedule of adult courses. I'd like to see a separate section in that, depending on what the distribution of that is, if it needs to be adjusted in order to put all of the programs, not just the community college programs, but for workforce and years and years and years and years and years. I don't think anybody in this extended community knows what's going on here. There's hardly ever been a billboard.
Exactly. It's all news to all of us.
Yes, I got nothing since day one and on every LA City scheduled committee list. I got nothing. How about a marquee with a website, and a website that's easy to operate, easy to get to? If you go on the LADWP website, it doesn't make it easy. It's got to be easy. Outreach should be to Marshall High and all of the King Junior High and Evans and all of that. Why don't you make room for a bakery? This campus needs a bakery. Complaining that many of their lines people are retirement age and they don't have anybody coming up the line to get those jobs. Those are high paying.
God, we all know it's high paying jobs.
So coordinate with LADWP about what they need. And then lastly, this building when we were saving it. Now that it's saved, I think Hugh Hauser needs to come back and do a comprehensive DVD on what's going on here. It's something to be really, really proud of. It could have been a Home Depot. Everybody in this room would have been proud of a Home Depot. It would also be closed now in a big, empty, stupid box.
Like Kmart.
Like Kmart has been now for 4 years. So get busy on outreach, and I'm happy to help.
May I ask a question? I live in this neighborhood. Good afternoon. My name is Jessica. I live in Glassell Park. I drive past the front of the campus all the time. When are you going to open up the front to the street and make this look like a place that's occupied?
When's construction done?
In 2 to 3 months.
2 or 3 months. That's good. I would also like to say, since I'm standing up, we're still rocking a brand new high school down the road on San Fernando Road.
Franklin.
And we don't need another high school. We need a college here. And let's hear, it's fine if you have some additional programs, but we need a college here. I'd be willing to bet money that your college and your college don't have the archdiocese working with young kids and housed in your building for college, not high school. And I think that's what most people in the neighborhood want to have, a place for the kids from Marshall and Eagle Rock and the new high school to come and go to college and not have to get to Glendale or City College.
What was your name again?
My name is Betsy Mines. I live in
Glassell Park. Thank you. And I believe we were going to go ahead and do a tour.
A very quick statement.
Okay.
It's the grand opening of this facility. We have several challenges, but one, we also thought it would be, it's important. We have a new chancellor coming on board August the 1st. And we wanted to ensure that everyone was settled in their plan a grand opening to welcome community and to inform community of all the programs that are here probably early in the fall. So you will be hearing from us. It's just a matter that it's worked out all the kinks in terms of the move-in, and we're pretty close to being there. So you will hear from us again.
On the agenda, it had that we would do the tour and then come back to adjourn. Can we adjourn and then do the tour?
I'd like to move for adjournment. Let's go.
And you can, essentially, you can, and that way, if you lose your quorum on the tour,
right, we may lose the quorum.
Then you're fine. So
second. Thank you. We're adjourned to go to do the tour. Our next meeting. Matt, thank you again, everyone, for the comments.